another exciting hour of the Tom Abraham Show. Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Really rather not have any more questions about, is it okay to lose this game? It's never okay to lose a game.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
I am the champ that runs the camp. Showtime! Woo!
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, here's Tom Abraham.
And I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that.
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Hour number two on tap here for the Tom Abraham Show. Glad that you are with us. Phone lines open a little bit later on. Remember, the text window is always open. You can use that at 732-982-7469. And, of course, the Twitter feed is at Tom Abraham Show. Make sure you drop the H in there. And then Facebook / Tom Abraham Show. All of that works as well. All of our guests appearing on a Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. And that includes Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times joining us to talk a little bit of Chicago Bears and their off-season needs. Patrick, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm fantastic. Boy, you know, the angst for Chicago Bear fan watching this team fall to 3-13 in John Fox's second season had to be multiplied by watching Adam Gase overperform with the Miami Dolphins and, you know, getting them to 10-6 and into the playoffs. How jittery right now are Bear fans, or are they patient?
Patience is not something often associated with Bears fans, so they are certainly not patient. What was interesting about the Adam Gase move was that Gase actually interviewed for the Bears head coaching job before John Fox ever got fired with the Broncos. So this isn't losing a coordinator. This is passing on a guy and then losing him. And then watching him do well with the Dolphins. You know, he really seemed to figure out Jay Cutler and he seemed to figure out Ryan Tannehill down there. And I'm sure whoever the next Bears quarterback is, the Bears hope that whoever he is has a relationship similar to what Jay and Adam Gase had.
Yeah, Adam Gase turning into a bit of a quarterback whisperer, that's for sure. If that's the case, though, now in year three with John Fox, you know, what's the pain threshold? Is if they win six games, they're doubling their win total from last year. Is that enough for John Fox to keep his gig, or is he the first guy on the hot seat right now going into the season?
I don't think six is enough for him to keep his job. I think 500 might be, but, you know, this is the great, interesting debate of the Bears offseason. Is they need to find and develop the quarterback of the future, whether that is drafting him, whether that is trading for Jimmy Garoppolo, whether that is taking any of these quarterbacks who might be on the scrap heap from Tyrod Taylor to Colin Kaepernick to whoever you want to come up with. So they got to develop that guy, but they also need to win this season. And if they don't, the coaching staff's probably getting fired. So it'll be a really interesting dance to see. You know, I mean, the GM obviously can probably put up with some growing pains from a quarterback if he believes in him, but I don't know whether the coach can afford to.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a young quarterback and they're playing better, I mean, look, they scored 279 points last year. It's worse in the NFC. Only the Rams were worse than them in the entire NFC. So, you know, if you're getting outscored by 120 points on the season, you know, I think that's one thing. If you're playing a lot more competitive football and they win six, seven games and they got a young quarterback that's developing, you know, then maybe they do move forward. But this Jay Cutler deal, obviously that era is over. Nobody feels like Matt Barkley can beat a guy. Brian Hoyer at points in his career has done something, but he's a free agent as well. But it doesn't sound like anybody's too excited about Matt Barkley as anything other than a stopgap.
No, I think Barkley, if they re-sign him, would probably be competing for their number two job. You know, I could see a scenario where if they're going to draft a guy, then they could bring Brian Hoyer back. Hoyer could be their quarterback for this season, and he could be okay. I mean, you know, he set the Bears franchise record for passer rating and completion percentage last year. Mm-hmm. First of all, that should tell you that passer rating is a really weird stat, number one. But number two, he ran Jay Cutler's offense better than Jay Cutler did. And, you know, you could do a lot worse, I think, than having Hoyer be the one-year stopgap guy. Or, you know, like I said, if you go get Jimmy Garoppolo or anybody of that ilk, you don't need to worry about it. You could probably bring back Barkley, you know, to fight for the backup job with somebody else.
A lot of talk about the young quarterbacks that will be in the draft, Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Kizer. I've seen all of these names at different times associated to the Bears. But I'm with you, by the way, on Garoppolo. The thing is, nobody ever says that they would spend that high of a pick on Garoppolo. So why would the Bears risk the third pick overall in the draft for a guy like, say, Mitch Trubisky, which you know nothing about, as opposed to shipping that to New England, even if it's the third pick overall, for a guy in Garoppolo who at least you've seen in an NFL game and has looked very competent?
I don't think that's a one-for-one trade. I'm not sure it's a one-for-one trade I would make if I were the Bears. Could they trade, you know, their second-round pick this year and their second-round pick next year? Would that get it done? Maybe. Could they get the Patriots' first-round pick this season back? Maybe. I don't know. Three straight up for Garoppolo is a tough ask, I think. But, you know, you said it. I mean, Mitch Trubisky, what, he started 13 games in college?
Yeah.
You know, Deshaun Kizer at Notre Dame, you know, was more or less quarterbacked a really bad football team this year and has 2 years of starting experience. I mean, those two guys, you know, don't have any better film than Jimmy Garoppolo does in the last couple of years. And one thing to keep an eye on, too, you know, Garoppolo is from here. He grew up in the Chicago area, went to Eastern Illinois, as did Ryan Pace, the Bears GM. But also the Bears spent 4 days training with the Patriots this past season in Foxborough leading up to a preseason game. And you can bet that Bears officials were watching Garoppolo because he took a lot of snaps because that was when they were getting him ready to start the season knowing that Brady would be out.
Both Mel Kiper and Pete Prisco at CBS have the Bears taking Jonathan Allen of Alabama. Of course, we're an Alabama affiliate here in Alabama. And so, there's a lot of interest in where Jonathan Allen goes. I don't think anybody here thought that he was necessarily the third pick overall in the draft. But having said that, defense is a need as well for the Bears. Could you see that pick that high for the Bears?
Yeah, I could. And that would leave them with a pretty good front seven. You know, right now, their big gaping hole is one of their defensive end positions in a 3-4 defense. If Allen's as disruptive as they think he could be, yeah, I mean, that would make sense. And one of the things that Ryan Pace, you know, told us when he first got here 2 years ago was that, you know, his draft strategy is take the best player. Don't fill the biggest need, take the best player. And I think when you look around at, you know, all of these, you know, very, very early draft predictions, I think most people have Jonathan Allen as the third best player in the draft.
Yeah. Patrick Finley with us, Chicago Sun-Times. And I would imagine, too, when you just talk about the Bears in general, Chicago's a great sports town. It's one of my favorite sports towns anywhere. But you've had now with the Cubs winning, you've had the Cubs win a World Series, you've had the White Sox win a World Series, you had the Blackhawks win 3 Stanley Cups. You know, the Bulls haven't won since Michael, but they won since the Bears won the Super Bowl in 85. All of a sudden, it's the Bears that have the big drought of winning a championship in that town. And look, you know as well as anybody, I'm sure, that, maybe not. You tell me. If all things are equal, is it a Bears town first or is it a Cubs town first? Yeah, it's a Bears town. Yeah.
And, you know, it sounds silly to say that now, given that, you know, just in November, you know, there were allegedly a million people at the Cubs parade route, you know, myself included. But all things being equal, you know, the entire town can get behind the Bears. You know, the baseball allegiance will always be split a little bit. You know, hockey is hockey. I think it's still a niche sport as good as the Blackhawks have been in this last decade. You know, and the Bulls really haven't been incredibly relevant for a long time. So, yeah, this is a Bears town. And if the Bears, you know, all you need to do is see one of those old 85 Bears, even now. And as you know, these guys are in their late 50s now, you know, but all you have to do is see them walk down the street and they still get mobbed like they're still, you know, like they just stepped off the field. And, you know, they hold a place in the heart of Chicago fans that I'm not even sure that last year's Cubs team will still hold, you know, 30 years from now.
I'm fully expecting, you know, Dick Wolf and NBC to have a Chicago sports. You know what I mean? We got Chicago Fire. We got Chicago Med.
We're out of topics.
We got PD. We got Justice starting in another few weeks. We get Chicago Justice. They need to have like a Chicago sports and just have it like, you know, some kind of a show that just deals with Chicago sports. Don't you think? That'd be great.
I was walking past that. They were doing some exterior shot and I walked past and I asked somebody, you know, what show it was. And they said, one of the Chicago something.
One of the Chicago.
There are so many of them now that it's one of four shows, so we don't even know at this
point. It's crazy. There's a Fox show out now called APB. My wife and I started watching. I watched that. Where's it set? Chicago. I mean, it's like everything. Chicago's the epicenter of the world now.
Maybe we have a good tax break for filmmakers and TV makers. Maybe that's it.
It must be. All right. We know about the quarterback situation. Certainly would like to add a defensive end. What are some of the other hot spots? Tight end, cornerback, you know, what are some of the other spots that they need to address somehow, whether it's free agency or in the draft, to get this thing pointed in the right direction?
You know, they haven't had an above average safety on their team in 6 years, probably 5 years. So safety and corner are two of them. The Bears, I think, tied the NFL record for fewest takeaways in a season this past year. And, you know, a lot of that, and you know this, a lot of that is pass rush. A lot of that is situational stuff. But, you know, they need players who can make plays on the ball, both at corner and at safety. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if they took a hard look at a safety number three. And that is just, you know, I realize that's blasphemous. That really never happens. But they desperately need a tone setter back there. On offense, you know, a tight end would be good. Zach Miller is their number one right now, and he's hurt a lot. You know, they seem to have found their running back in the future in Jordan Howard, so he's okay. The big question right now is Alshon Jeffrey going to be here? Today starts a 2-week window for the Bears when they can either give Jeffrey a franchise tag again for the second straight year, or if they can't come to an agreement on if they decide not to tag him by March 1st, he can go sign with anybody at no penalty. So he may be a Bear 2 weeks from today. He may not. And if he's not, then wide receiver goes to the top of that list because, you know, the Bears drafted Kevin White 7th 2 years ago, and all he's done is really just been hurt for 2 seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that a lot of fans in this region, fans of the Tennessee Titans, are kind of waited with bated breath as to what's going to happen with Alshon Jeffrey, because he'd fit in nicely in that offense. That is for sure. Having said that, I mean, do you tag, if you're 3-13 football team, do you tag a receiver? I mean, can you do that with a guy that touches the ball 5 or 6 times a game?
It's a really tough thing, you know, and compounding that is the fact that Jeffrey got popped for PED use this last year and sat out 4 games because of it. In general, no, that would seem like a bad idea. It would seem like a better idea to give him $30 million guaranteed for 3 years or whatever than give him $17 million guaranteed for this season. That said, the Bears have a lot of money under the cap. They can spend and spend and spend. I think they're top 5 in terms of available cap room. And are they really in a position to let it? Alshon turns 27. I think he turned 27 yesterday. Mm-hmm. Are they really in position to let a 27-year-old elite talent, as inconsistent as he might be, are they in position to let him go for nothing? I don't know whether that's the best way to get better. And, you know, if you look around the league, you know, the Bears traded Martellus Bennett last year because they didn't like his attitude. They traded Brandon Marshall 2 years ago for a similar reason. And, you know, you say what you will, but those guys went out and performed in their next team. And you just sit there and go, I'm not sure you can let that sort of talent walk away when you're trying to get better.
You know, it's interesting. In the NFL, I don't think there's ever enough attention put on the ownership group of a particular team and how that permeates down to winning. But, you know, when you look at it, these teams that win routinely seem to have the best upper front office from president on up, and the teams that are dysfunctional don't. Is there a thought or a confidence that the Bears have a hierarchy there that will allow this thing to win again? I mean, they had that one time with Dicka, and of course, Hallis from Papa Bear was there at the time and all that stuff. But do they have a front office that is ever going to allow them to get right?
Well, Ryan Pace, when they hired him, he was the deputy with the Saints a couple of years ago, you know, for, you know, a decade. And when they hired him, they told him that he would have football control, and he does. You know, there was a rumor this past season that maybe they'd bring in some sort of football czar sort of guy. You know, Bill Polian's name was floated. And the Bears publicly and privately will tell you that never happened, that was just a bogus report. So, I think this is Ryan Pace's ship. The ownership situation is really unique in the sport in that it's run by George McCaskey. George's mom, Virginia, is still alive. She's in her 90s. And her dad was George House. So, I mean, this is a direct line to 1920 when the team started. And the McCaskeys, there have been different McCaskeys to run the team as chairman since that Super Bowl. And nobody's had great success. But, for people wondering whether the Bears would ever sell, I don't think there's a snowball's chance that the McCaskeys will ever let the franchise get out of their hands.
But you got to have the right guy just under them, you know what I mean, to really make it work. All right, and finally, on the Jay Cutler issue, by the way, I mean, it's not like he's a free agent or anything. It's just, I mean, it's a done deal, right? I mean, they will cut him, take whatever cap hit is left. I mean, there's nothing left in Jay Cutler's Chicago tank, correct?
Well, he's still recovering from a shoulder injury, which is a problem. I think they're done, and I think it's more a sense of a change would be good for both sides here. You know, 2 years ago under Adam Gase, Jay Cutler was really good. Jay Cutler was not their problem. You know, but last year he got banged up, and the people who took his place, you know, did as good of a job or better. They can walk away from him with very, very, very little penalty. So there's no motivation for them to keep him around. But there is this. They can let him go, you know, on March 9th when the league year starts, or they could let him go on August 9th, and it's all the same financially. So, you know, I would expect the Bears to keep him on roster until they're sure they've got their next quarterback. And maybe that's a trade, but maybe you got to wait till draft night for that, or maybe you got to wait till after that and see how that all shakes out. So I don't think there's any guarantee that the divorce is coming here in 3 weeks, but I think it's pretty well accepted that it's coming at some point.
And is there any thought at all that they would be in the Romo sweepstakes?
Maybe. You know, Romo actually went to Eastern Illinois, as did Garoppolo, right, as did Ryan Pace. If I'm Romo, I want to go somewhere where I can win. And I'm not sure that this year is I'm sure that there are better options out there for getting to the playoffs this season. I get back to the fact Jay Cutler might be the best free agent quarterback available if they let him go. So it's obviously not, I don't think it's is this guy talented enough, whoever it may be, Kaepernick, Romo, whatever. I don't think is he talented? It's how does he fit what we try to do? Because that's going to be key, particularly if this is going to be a rental situation where you teach the 22-year-old behind you how you go about your business. I think Romo would be a great mentor in this situation. I think if he were healthy, he'd be a pretty effective player. But I just don't know the upside to him if he's going to have a say in where he ends up. I'm not sure the Bears are high on the list.
I just have always had, Cutler, there's just a flaw there somewhere. I mean, there's that gene. Yep. You know, in Nashville, he went 5-6, and they threw a parade because at Vanderbilt, because that was pre-James.
It was
pre-James Franklin, right? It was once James Franklin got there, and they started winning 9 games and going to bowl games every year, it didn't look so good anymore. But 5-6 was a big deal. But never a winning season there. Never any playoff action at Denver. Never any playoff action to speak of there with the Chicago Bears. There's just something not right there with that guy.
He made the playoffs, and remember, he got hurt, and people jumped all over him, and as it turned out, it was a really serious injury. There's something about, Jay doesn't connect, or the fans in Chicago, there's something about Jay they don't like. You know, I think they think that he comes off as arrogant or aloof. But, I mean, this is like a guy who can hit a baseball, 500 feet, though. I mean, even at practice, you watch him throw, and he does things that very few humans in the world can do.
Oh, he's got a wonderful arm talent.
That hasn't translated to wins. In fact, if he never plays another game for the Bears, he will leave the Bears having won exactly half his games.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff George, right? You know what I mean? I'm just saying there's been a lot of arm talent. I mean, there's been a lot of great arm talents out there that just something isn't right, and it's – I don't know. I'm jaded a little bit because I have a production company that runs some events, and I've had him in Nashville for golf tournaments and things like that. And he's just so he's just very standoffish. He's not very I don't see the leadership, you know, and I think that's been the issue.
Yeah, and I see that. I will give him this though. You know, he's not the warmest and fuzziest guy, but you know, he doesn't do endorsements. He had a radio show in Chicago for a while where he'd read an ad every once in a while, but that was it. I mean, he's a guy who values his time, and he said this before that, you know, whatever a car commercial would pay him isn't worth his time. And so he doesn't try to have it both ways. You know, he's introverted in a lot of ways, and he's like that kind of when he's on the clock and when he's off.
Yeah. All right. Excellent work as always. I appreciate you so much. Patrick Finley has been our guest, Chicago Sun-Times, talking some Chicago Bears. Thank you, Patrick.
Hey, anytime. Thank you.
All right. It's good work there. It's good stuff. All right. Coming up next, Bo Estes will join us. We'll do a little NBA with him from NBA TV and NBA.com. That's coming up right after this. You're listening to the Tom Abraham Show right here at 730-1039. The Ump.
Sports Radio. The Ump. Because we care.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLetsDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
The Amazon's rainforest is being cut down so fast that by 2030, 55% of it could be completely wiped out. The Earth's forests can't speak up when they need help, but we can. Be the voice for those who have no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just got invited to the prom. Do you A, meet her date?
I need to see your past date report cards, your driver's license, a list of references, and this hair sample.
B, help her pick out a dress.
Don't you just love the long sleeves and turtleneck on this pantsuit?
Ugh.
C, attend the prom undercover.
Mom, what are you doing here?
I'm not Mom, I'm Calvin, the new kid at school.
Or D, capture her big moment.
Let's take a photo of you two. I'm in the middle.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Marion Platt, and welcome to Heartbeat. Do you ever feel that if you passed away today, you might not be missed? Life sometimes leaves us feeling like a zero. But it's worth noting that if you place the number one in front of the zero, you increase that number tenfold. When we place God as number one in our lives, we discover our own personal value. The Bible tells us that God marks the sparrow's fall, knows the number of hairs on our head, and has a plan for each of us. He gave his best, his own son, to make our lives count. We do have value, infinite value, because he made us for eternal fellowship with himself. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
So, what is love?
Love is being independent.
Love is dancing.
A Shriners Hospital for Children. Love is a new smile.
At Shriners Hospitals for Children, love is caring for a child regardless of the family's ability to pay. Learn how you can send your love to the rescue at lovetotherescue.org.
Sarcoma. Odds are you've never heard that word before. For the 40 people diagnosed with sarcoma every day, it is a life-changing word, because sarcoma is cancer. Through awareness, advocacy, and research, the Sarcoma Foundation of America is bringing hope to the families whose lives have been turned upside down by a cancer they had never heard of until diagnosis. Please join us in the fight to find the cure for sarcoma. For more information on the work of the Sarcoma Foundation of America, go to curesarcoma.org.
Brought to you by Hum by Verizon. Is your check engine light on? Hum by Verizon can tell you why, so you can fix small problems before they become big ones. Find out how to make your car smarter, safer, and more connected with Hum by Verizon. Visit hum.com today.
The sky becoming mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today, 53. Clear and cold tonight with a light freeze likely. The low at 30. For tomorrow and Friday, the sky sunny both days with a gradual warming trend. The high tomorrow, 57. Friday's high in the mid-60s at 65. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Get in the doghouse weekday afternoon starting at 2.
.325 here in the doghouse. A double dip on ESPN tonight of NBA action. Tomorrow night on TNT, one of them sports eye candy games. As long as everybody's wearing their proper uniforms, the Celtics will be at the Chicago Bulls. Just got done talking some Chicago sports with Patrick Finley. He says that the Bulls just haven't been relevant enough lately. That's an interesting take. Joining us now on a Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline is a guy that can speak to that and much, much more. Bo Estes is with us from NBA TV, NBA.com. Bo, welcome in. How are you?
Good, man. It's probably tough to be relevant in Chicago now that the Cubs have won a World Series, I imagine. But it's a good point that your last guest made.
Well, you know, it's interesting because he said that I asked him Bears Town, Cubs Town, and he said, no, Bears Town. Definitely still Bears Town. But the Bears are the longest championship drought now. Now with the Cubs, the White Sox, you know, the Blackhawks have won 3 Stanley Cups and the Bulls won, you know, in the 90s with Mike. You know, it's the Bears since 85. And, you know, they'd like to see something happen. I think the Bulls move up fast on that list, but they just can't seem to get it right there in Chicago with the Bulls.
Yeah, and sports fans' loyalties are more than just who has won lately, although that plays a big part. I once asked Bob Ryan after the Celtics had won all the titles in the 80s and the Patriots had won, who was the team in that town? And he said the Red Sox. And this was before a World Series. He said, first, last, and always. That was his quote, first, last, and always, the Red Sox. And the Celtics, I believe, were third on that list behind the Boston Bruins.
I'll tell you a funny story. It's a true story, and it was not this past one, but one of the Super Bowls. It was when the Patriots won their first Super Bowl. I think it was 2001 somewhere.
Against the Rams.
Against the Rams. When they won that one against the Rams, it was either 2000 or 2001. When they won that Super Bowl, they had the parade, right, in downtown Boston. They had the parade for the Patriots. And along the parade route, people began chanting, Yankees suck. During the Patriots Super Bowl parade, they were chanting Yankees suck. And that was, of course, before the Red Sox started winning some World Series. So, yeah, you're right about that. In Boston, it gets that way. But look, you know what? With that, the Celtics are, you know, they're just kind of nipping at, hanging around there, nipping at the heels of the Cavs who played tonight in Boston. And the Cavaliers now don't have Kevin Love. I mean, they should have sent him for Melo, but they don't have Kevin Love for the next 6 weeks. Is there going to be a day, just a day, where the Boston Celtics might jump to the top of the table in the Eastern Conference?
It wouldn't shock me. I'll put it that way. They may be buyers at the trade deadline, too. I don't think they're satisfied with where they are. The Cavs may be buyers, too, but I could see Boston putting together some wins because how much – the whole thing is how much do the Cavs really want to play LeBron in this regular season? Say it's a back-to-back on the second night on the road. How much do you really want to tax it? Because everybody learned last year it's all about the playoffs. Golden State laid everything on the line, and they lost the championship. They laid it all on the line in the regular season and lost the playoffs. So I could see Boston passing Cleveland in the regular season standings at some point. I do think Cleveland's still the best team, especially when they're all together in the East. But, you know, just for a regular season standings moment, sure.
And the bigger thing to me seems to be stay out of the three. You don't want to have a scenario where, or, you know, or the three or the four where you have to play the Cavs in the second round if it ends up that way. And right now they got a 2.5 game lead on the Wizards, who, you know, continue to play good basketball. The Wizards have won 9 out of the last 10, as have the Celtics. But, yeah, you just want to stay in a spot where when you do play Cleveland in the playoff, it's in the Eastern Conference final, right? I mean, because I don't think whether you're the one or the two, I mean, right now they'd be playing Chicago in the playoffs, and, you know, Chicago's under 500, and I don't think there's a big problem there. And it does seem to be that there's a pretty definitive line, you know, again, with the top four teams maybe in the East versus everybody else.
Well, and yeah, you're right. I think that the two and the three are the preferred seeds versus the four if Cleveland's going to be that one, and you expect right. that they will. So Atlanta and Toronto are in that 4-5. They would be matched up against Cleveland in a round two scenario, and that's not preferred, honestly. That's not what you want. You've seen Toronto's already made a move to get Serge Ibaka. They aren't a great rebounding team, and so that may help that situation some. So, you know, people are making moves, and you don't know that it's all an eye towards that. But when the Hawks made the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago, that's the farthest they've ever made it as a franchise. It was a step in the right direction. They don't want to go back. They haven't moved Paul Millsap. So all these teams are sort of looking at where they are in the standings. And some of those teams down lower, you know, could be sellers at the trade deadline. And that's what it's all sort of jockeying towards is next Thursday, February 23rd, the trade deadline.
Right, right. And it comes pretty quick after the All-Star break, which, of course, comes up this weekend. All right, have you heard? I haven't heard yet. Is Charles Oakley taking over for Phil Jackson as president of the Knicks now that, you know, him and James Dolan and Adam Silver and Mike got together and sang Kumbaya? And I guess he's throwing out the first ball or throwing the tip up. You know, it seems like all of that story is now going away.
Well, it is going away in a real hurry after Adam Silver and Michael Jordan got involved. And it's weird because, you know, you're talking about an owner of the Charlotte Hornets jumping on a call with the owner of the Knicks, a former player. That it's just a weird combo. Yeah. But let's say it's worked. I mean, we're all smart enough to know what happened here. It was sort of let's force a peace upon the Knicks and do the right thing. And it is the right thing. But Charles Oakley... Good gosh. I like what Charles Barkley said. Nobody came away from that looking good. No one person looked good right. in that whole scenario.
Yeah, no, that was that whole thing was a bizarre scenario for sure. Did not, in fact, the net worth, though, of the Knicks, as Forbes has come out, and have the Knicks, $3.3 billion, the most valuable team in the entire NBA is the, by God, New York Knicks. Thank you, Los Angeles Clipper deal on that. But $3.3 billion for the Knicks, huh?
Yeah, well, that and, you know, number two was another losing team, the Los Angeles Lakers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily pay being the operative word, to win in the NBA right now if you want a rich franchise. It's those big media markets. And a big part of it for the Knicks and the Lakers is the giant local cable deals they've got. I think the Knicks in the first year was $100 million or something like that, just an astronomical amount. So that helps drive the value of those franchises, luxury boxes, all sorts of other stuff that are going on there. But I think the amazing thing is, you know, you hear all these negative stories about the Knicks, and it seems like they're careening out of control, and then they're worth, you know, like some rich European soccer team's number with a $3.3 billion out there. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that Forbes says that three teams lost money last year, and they're the Cavaliers, the Clippers, and the Thunder, who last year, of course, with Kevin Durant were very good. And so being good doesn't guarantee making money. They say that was because of the luxury tax. And the Cavs, they're saying, are worth $1.2 billion, which is 11th in the league. And you got to think that a lot of people think that, yeah, you know, you could be the owner of the Cavs, but what's LeBron got left? 3-4 years, whatever it is. When he walks away, the Cavs go back to being, you know, a grease fire. It doesn't seem to be that there's anything there that would be lasting with the Cavs. They could be back to being a 12-win team or something in a building that people stop going to.
Well, you're right. And, you know, strictly from a financial perspective, you'd almost say sell the Cavs now if you own the team.
Exactly.
But I think the other challenge there with the Cavs, because there are small market teams, that do really well. But you're right, that whole franchise's success has been on the back of that one guy. And so you're beholden to him. Whatever he wants, you have to at least listen to pretty solidly. And, you know, there are some other teams in the league that really lean on a guy. The Golden State Warriors lean on Steph, but they got Kevin Durant and other guys. But to me, that whole team, that whole franchise is really, really is LeBron-centric.
Team that's starting to show a little bit of life is the Philadelphia 76ers. They're actually playing like a regular basketball team lately, last month or so. But, you know, this deal with Jahlil Okafor, is he going to get traded? He says he's ready to play tonight. You know, he's going to go. He's going to play. If a deal was going down, you might not take a chance on him getting hurt. You know, why do you think they're moving him at this particular point in time? Are they getting a ransom? Are they expected to get a king's ransom back for him?
Well, I think that everybody in the league knows that they have a log jam at the big man position. They've got Joel Embiid, who is the star. They've got Nerlens Noel, and they've got Jahlil Okafor. That's at least one too many of those guys.
And Ben Simmons at some point
Noel
coming back.
Plays the best with Joel Embiid. He's a defensive player that doesn't need the ball on offense to produce. He can get offensive rebounds, and he can do other things. Jahlil Okafor is simply this. He is simply an offensive player. He's not much of a rebounder. He's a terrible defender. So he doesn't fit what they need at all. The challenge with that is that other teams in the NBA know this. They know that Jahlil Okafor doesn't fit their plans going forward. So the market for him is maybe not as high as it would be under normal circumstances. There's conflicting reports on why Philly sat him. The one report is that they sat him because a deal was coming up and they didn't want him to get hurt and screw up the deal. The other side of this is they sat him thinking it would drive value up. Teams were thinking that, oh my gosh, they're getting ready to trade Jahlil Okafor. Let's make a move now. So, you'll have to see what happens with Jahlil Okafor, but I don't see him in Philly much longer. That's my honest guess.
And don't forget, but Ben Simmons, too, another guy that's going to be ready to go here at some particular point in time. It's another 6'10", 240-pound guy that can play pretty much anywhere, really, when you look at his game. Bo Estes with us, NBA TV, NBA.com. Golden State will not win 74 games. We know that. Nope. Holy macros. What was that the Nuggets 24 of 40? Great quote from Steph Curry. It was a humble slice of cupcake, which I never had heard of that before, but that's a cool thing to say. But man, what a crazy deal there. You know, I don't know what it says about the Nuggets. I don't know what it says about the Warriors. I don't know what it says about February in the NBA, but 24 out of 40, they shot better from outside the arc than they did from inside.
Well, there's a couple of things there. Sometimes in any sport, Tom, it's just your night. Sometimes it's just your night and the shots are falling. Remember, last year the Lakers beat the Golden State Warriors. Sometimes shots are just falling and you're going to win the game. The other thing is Denver is a more difficult town to play in than the team itself. It's because of the altitude, and when you're playing there, it's a difficult game. So Steph was 1 of 11 from distance in that game, from the three-point line. That's not normal Steph Curry. He's the third best all-time shooter in NBA history from a percentage standpoint behind the three-point line. He had an awful night, and so the shots were falling for Denver. Denver is a team that has a wonderful talent that nobody knows about. It's real close to Joel Embiid as far as talent, and Nikola Jokic. This is a guy that nobody's going to talk about. He's an unbelievable talent. So they're a team that has some talent out there, but they played way better than they are in that game.
I wonder, too, was there an emotional hangover maybe a little bit from the game on Saturday against Oklahoma City? Of course, that had, there's some contention in there. I mean, my gosh, we've seen this go from – and I got to be honest with you, I like it. This isn't Isaiah Thomas kissing Magic Johnson and, guys that were ex-teammates getting together and, palling around. I like this, that Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. And this is probably all coming from Russell Westbrook, not Kevin Durant. But, that's the way it should be with it's like you're either with me or against me type thing. And, but that was fun that night. I mean, it was more fun for Golden State, but it was fun to see a little bit of that in the NBA.
Well, and Russell Westbrook was unbelievable in the game. You almost feel sorry for him because he can be the best player on the court and it still doesn't matter. He's probably going to lose that game because Golden State is just such a better team. But the fire was amazing. And so basically my nights break down like this. I am working, and all of a sudden I'll get a highlight. I have to run in and call the highlight, and then I run out of the booth, and I'm hearing screams. So I know something is going on. But the reaction to Russell Westbrook's reaction was great. I mean, everybody was fascinated, because this is what you thought all along, Tom. You thought deep down Russell Westbrook was really ticked, and he wanted to go at Durant, and he finally did in a public way. And now this weekend, they get to sit in the same locker room, and it's going to be Russell Westbrook sitting in the same locker room with four Golden State Warriors, and being coached by the Warriors coach Steve Kerr. To be a fly on that wall. It's just an unbelievable thought what's going to be going on down there, and how they're going to try to work Russell Westbrook in, and how he'll react.
Yeah. Who are we liking in the slam dunk contest? You got somebody for me? I mean, nobody goes in it anymore like it used to be, all the big stars, but who are you liking in a slam dunk?
I got to go Aaron Gordon from the Orlando Magic. Remember him last year. He pushed Zach LaVine to the very end of the world. I think he's a really solid choice. Everybody else is way behind him, in my view, on that slam dunk contest. He's who I'm watching there. And you know, as far as 3-point, I really wish Steph was in it. I do. I'd go Klay Thompson there.
I wish a few of these guys. I wish Durant was in it, and Bird used to do it, and you know, all the top guys used to do it, man. You know, back in the day. They do have DeAndre Jordan. If there was a guy in the lane playing defense during the slam dunk contest, I would take DeAndre Jordan then. You know what I mean? Because I think he'd go over anybody.
Yeah, he's the best I've ever seen. You know who did a good job? Maybe the dunk of the year so far. It's almost a DeAndre impersonation. Is the kid from Kentucky, Willie Cauley-Stein. He's not the player that DeAndre is, but boy, that kid has some hops to the moon and back. And he's a highlight machine out there for Sacramento if he ever gets off the bench behind DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think the Friday night game, the Rising Stars game, will probably be a little more competitive than the All-Star game. The All-Star game has gotten, I've always said, you might as well take it outside, or you might as well make it a 3-on-3 jumping jack tournament and have 2 3-on-3 games going at either end of the court at the same time and do a little tournament like the NHL does now, you know what I mean, with their 3-on-3 thing, because it just seems to be that there's some ooh and ah moments, but there's a lot of real sloppiness during the ooh and ah moments, you know, of the game, which is kind of unfortunate because it used to be a beautiful game.
Well, I told you about the intrigue on the Western Conference side, what I think, you know, with Russell Westbrook playing with those Golden State guys. On the Eastern Conference, the thing that's interesting to me is Kevin Love now out 6 weeks with knee surgery. They've only got Paul Millsap as a big man now in the Eastern Conference. He's not really a big man. He's 6'8". So who's going to be the All-Star replacement? The wait has gone on a bit to see who's going to replace Kevin Love. By rights, it's probably Bradley Beal. He's a guard, so do they go with a big man? Is it Joel Embiid? It's not going to be him because he's hurt. Is it Dwight Howard? Is it Hassan Whiteside from down in Miami? It's going to be an interesting choice because, if they go Bradley Beal, there is no big man really for the Eastern Conference to go play in that All-Star game.
You know my thoughts, too, on the slam dunk contest. I've said it for years. I'll say it every year at All-Star weekend. They ought to grade the dunks in the All-Star game, because this way you get LeBron and Carmelo and you get Durant and you get all those guys. Make that the dunk contest. Grade the dunks.
I actually like that a lot.
Can you imagine having the superstars sitting at courtside and there's a big dunk and they throw up those signs and keep track of them and it's your best 3 dunks. This way you don't have guys, you know, trying to dunk 15 times or whatever. Anybody can be in it, take the best 3 scores and grade the dunks in the All-Star game. And that would make it more watchable. How about that?
I like that a whole lot, actually. I think people want to see stuff like that. People want to be entertained by stuff like that. And the All-Stars numbers are great. I mean, and it's an event every weekend wherever they have it. But I do like sort of adding that level of intrigue, because the game itself, like you said, can get sloppy in the third quarter when nobody's back on defense. And it's just a 3-on-0 break, and who's going to dunk it? That can get a little dull, so it would be interesting to see that.
Always tremendous stuff. Bo Estes. Now, did you say there's a deadline next Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday, February 23rd.
Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah, that's Thursday. Okay, so Thursday the 23rd. So Wednesday we'll have a spirited conversation about the trade deadline then on Wednesday. So that'll be good stuff.
Yeah, right, it's going to be fun, and I think you can expect some moves. I'm on TV Monday covering it on NBA TV, but, you know, it heats up as the week goes on.
Good stuff. All right, appreciate you as always, Bo.
Take care, Tom. We'll see you, bud.
Bo Estes. All right, we'll come back. Has the presidential bracket left the White House with Barack Obama? I'll tell you next. Tom Abraham Show. 866-485-9867. Open lines next on 730-1039. The Ump.
Sports Radio. 730-1039. The Ump. The Ump.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. Cavalier Kevin Love underwent arthroscopic knee surgery yesterday, and he could be out up to 6 weeks or more, according to the Cavs. Uh-oh! That is a huge blow to a team that was already struggling to hold on to the top spot in the East. A huge blow to a team that LeBron James already said was, quote, top-heavy as bleep. LeBron, Kyrie, and Love were doing all the heavy lifting themselves because nobody else has stepped up consistently to take any pressure off the big three. And because they were already busted up even before Love went down. Even with Love, LeBron and Kyrie were already playing way more minutes than the team wanted them to play. If I'm Coach Ty Lue, I dial back their minutes immediately, even if it does cost the Cavaliers the one seed. A healthy and sound LeBron and Kyrie is way more important than getting that top seed overall. I'm Jim Rome.
Are you putting your money into an IRA, pension, or 401k? Then I hope you're prepared to lose 30, 40, 50% or more of your retirement savings. Because it's not a question of if the market crashes again. It's a question of when. It's going to happen. Did you know there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth safely and predictably every single year? The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008, and they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
Lawler's Barbecue is celebrating their 39th birthday through the end of February. With 10 locations to serve you, there's always something delicious right around the corner. Come in today for our succulent ribs or rib plates. Or how about our slow-cooked pork? Get a lunch bag to go. Or our famous pork plates. And everyone loves the stuffed potatoes at Lawler's Barbecue. Celebrate the 39th birthday of Lawler's Barbecue through the end of February. And we love saving you money. So this Friday morning at 9, get your $50 gift certificate for $25 for the sweet deal of the week. The half-price sweet deal never tasted so good. This Friday morning at 9, log on and click on the sweet deal. A $50 gift certificate to Lawler's Barbecue for $25. Delicious ribs and rib plates, slow-cooked pork, and those famous stuffed potatoes. It's the 39th anniversary of Lawler's Barbecue. Log on to umpsports.com.
Well, it was bound to happen. Football season will come to an end, but what that means is spring football is right around the corner, and so is the spring season. Now is the time to treat your vehicle to the ultimate in-service care at Woody Anderson Ford. You'll be stunned at the beautiful new service lanes, and you're going to want to leave yourself some extra time to have breakfast or lunch at Henry's Mustang Cafe. In fact, head to the Mustang Cafe any day, and while you're there, check out the new 2017 Fords. Woody Anderson Ford at Sparkman and Jordan Lane.
Don't ignore facial redness or what you might think is a sunburn that just won't go away. It could be an early warning sign of a common facial disorder called rosacea. 16 million Americans have rosacea, and its top trigger is the sun. Learn the warning signs, facial redness, bumps and pimples, visible blood vessels, even irritated eyes. If you experience any one of these signs, see a dermatologist for diagnosis and treatment, or visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
Our tweets are elite. Follow the Ump on Twitter at UMP Sports.
Mm-hmm. Phone lines are open if you want to get in. 866-485-9867. Tom Abraham Show. Apparently, we have seen the end of the presidential bracket for the NCAA tournament that left the White House with Barack O'Bracket. We will not see anymore. Donald Trump has notified ESPN that he will not pick brackets for the 2017 men's and women's tournaments. The White House notified ESPN that the president's going to pass on making picks this year. The network said in a statement today, quote, "We expressed our interest in the White House in continuing the presidential bracket. They have respectfully declined." White House spokesman Hope Hicks, in an email to the Washington Post, said, quote, "We look forward to working with ESPN on another opportunity in the near future." He's a big golf guy. Maybe he'll do something with the Masters. You know what I mean? Like a Masters bracket or something like that. Nah. Two of the brackets that were made out by Barack Obama are now in the Smithsonian National Museum of American History now. So there you go on that deal. And by the way, while we're speaking a little bit of politics there, we had that story, was it last week, Smokey, where the guy said that, you know, what's the California now passing this law saying that they won't fund travel for state institutions going to any events that are in states that, you know, have the LGBT, whatever, law and so on in play. And we had some conversation about, well, what about when UCLA plays Memphis next year to start the season in September? You know, is this going to impact them going to play in Memphis? And then, of course, part of that story also was the fact that the state of Texas is in the process of voting on the bathroom bill. And, you know, the NFL had made a comment suggesting that they may, you know, not bring a Super Bowl back to Texas if, in fact, they pass that bill. You remember that last week, right?
Yeah, I remember that, big dog.
I do want to say this about that. I think that there's a huge, there's two things that are in play here. And I think that they're very distinct, all right? And by the way, you don't mess with Texas, right? We know that. We set a bumper sticker. Don't mess with Texas. Texas said we don't care what the NFL thinks. It's certainly what their politics or what their political policies are, and they are not the political arm of the state of Texas or the United States of America. They need to learn their place in the United States, which is to govern football, not politics. So having said that, I'm just going to say this. I do believe that there are two very distinct things, and I've made my issue, my points known in the past, so I think I need to make sure that this is clear. I think on the issue of the bathroom bill, I think it's the most ridiculous thing ever. I think the bathroom bill, in turn, that makes total sense. You do not decide day to day whether you're a dude or a chick, or you're going to go in a men's room or a school, allowing, you know, boys who feel effeminate or whatever they feel or however they identify themselves to use the girls' locker room, and they don't know what, you know, all of that kind of stuff. It's crazy. The bathroom bill stuff is crazy. However, I will say this as well. On the issue of denying services to a person because of religious beliefs. In other words, the gay couple that wants a baker to make their cake for their wedding. And the bakery says, no, we don't serve you because, you know, we don't believe in gay marriage. I don't believe that that's right. I don't think you can discriminate in your business practices. I don't think it'd be right to discriminate because that is pure discrimination. What's to stop them from saying, well, I don't like black people, or I don't like Italians, or I don't like, you know, Muslims, or I don't like Jews, or I don't like Christians? Now, if you're a business and you're benefiting from state law and you're licensed by the state, I don't think you should be able to discriminate based on sexual orientation. The fact that you don't agree with their sexual orientation is fine, but you can't deny them, sir. You can't not sit them at the counter for lunch because you don't like their sexual orientation. However, bathroom bill, complete polar opposite. Completely different. Go to the bathroom that you belong in. That's completely different. Two separate issues. All right, got that out. All right, when we come back, Andrew Bone. Talk some Alabama football with him next, right here on 730-1039 AM.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump. Alabama basketball hits the hardwood again, fresh off a loss to Kentucky, and look to rebound against the all-of-a-sudden hot Missouri Tigers. Coverage on Wednesday starts at 6:30 on The Ump, your exclusive home of Alabama basketball.
Madison RV Supercenter is having their annual RV show and sale February 13th through the 18th with interest rates way down and discounts way up. Now is the perfect time to choose your new RV. With the largest selection of latest models in the area, there's no need to go anywhere else but Madison RV Supercenter. Free parking, free admission, free food. Madison RV Supercenter is the only place to get your new RV, and the annual RV show and sale is the right time to buy. Don't miss this event. Madison RV Supercenter annual RV show and sale.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Looking for a way to get involved in the community? Big Brothers Big Sisters of North Alabama has a new office in Athens and is looking for those interested in becoming a big, wanting to be a little, or simply desiring to assist the organization through donations or partnerships. Each year, Big Brothers Big Sisters works to pair children ages 5 to 13 with mentors in an effort to enrich their lives. In order to support these, your support is needed. To be a part of Big Brothers Big Sisters, stop by the new office in the Family Resources Center at 406 South Jefferson Street in Athens. Call 256-880-2123 or on the web at bbbsna.org. Becoming a big brother or big sister makes a tremendous impact on the lives of children throughout the Tennessee Valley. And with the addition of the new office in Athens, your impact reaches even further. It's never too late to start something and make a difference in someone's life.
See that cute little dog in the pet store? Chances are it came from a puppy mill, a breeding facility that forces caged, neglected, and often sick dogs to churn out puppies to be sold for profit. Meanwhile, millions of wonderful, healthy pets end up in animal shelters. But with one simple choice, you can help, just by deciding to adopt instead of purchase your next pet. Not only are you saving a life, you're taking a stand against puppy mills. Visit bestfriends.org/puppymills to learn more.
Hi, I'm Joe Nichols, and I'm getting the word out about a fatal and under-recognized medical condition that sadly took my dad. He developed idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, or IPF, a rare lung disease causing permanent scarring of the lungs, making it increasingly difficult to breathe. My dad lost his fight at 46. It took years for my dad to get diagnosed, which is not uncommon, because the telltale symptoms of IPF, breathlessness from mild physical activity and a dry, persistent cough, are often confused with more common illnesses like COPD or asthma. Music is a big part of my life, so I'm teaming up with Musicians on Call, an organization that brings music right to the bedsides of patients in hospitals. We want everyone with IPF to get the help they need. So if you or someone you love has symptoms of IPF, talk to a doctor now. You may be referred to a lung specialist for a diagnosis and treatment. An early diagnosis can help people with IPF treat their condition earlier. Help me spread the word. Visit breathlessipf.com.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Were you born from 1945 to 1965? People born during these years are five times more likely to have hepatitis C. So even if you try to eat right, exercise, and take care of yourself, you could still have hepatitis C, a serious disease that's a leading cause of liver cancer. If you were born from 1945 to 65, you should get a blood test for hepatitis C. Treatments can cure this disease. Talk to your doctor about getting tested. A message from the CDC.
She's kind of a big deal. Some people like to say it's only because of how she looks. She sticks her tongue out a lot. But there's just something about her that makes people do crazy things, like get tattoos of her face, or wait in line for hours just to say hi. Lil Bub is a 2-year-old cat, an Instagram celebrity with a following bigger than some 90s television stars. And it all started because she was adopted. You can't buy a best friend like Lil Bub, but you can adopt one. Help us save them all at bestfriends.org.
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The Ump. Now, another exciting hour.